Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We've been bringing these messages to you for 20 years now, and we praise the Lord for all the prayers, all the provision for this radio station, and most of all for you, the listener. And we thank you for tuning in today. If this is your first time tuning in, we hope you come back each and every Sunday. We say welcome to you, and we hope you make this a regular stop on your Sunday worship schedule. And for those who have been with us for many years, we say thank you to you. We appreciate you, and we hope that you have been blessed by all these good messages. And we know that we have been blessed in bringing them to you in this radio ministry. Today we're going to be talking again about the New Testament church from the book of Acts. And this is an explosive, exciting part of Scripture. The New Testament church was birthed on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And so we're going to take up this message and look at some more aspects of the New Testament church. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Before we get into the message today, just want to give you a brief update. What's going on in Kenya? There's been a lot of turmoil, primarily in Nairobi recently. Government protests of the government, and a lot of goons showing up to disrupt and take over the protests and doing lots of looting and vandalism and lots of general chaos and mayhem. We ask you to pray for the country of Kenya. It hasn't affected us out there in West Kenya. We are moving ahead with our plans to build a school. We ask you to support us in that. And we're asking the Lord, we're trusting the Lord for $300,000 to build this primary school in Makunda. It'll be a school for grades 1 through 8 with a primary preschool also. And this is primarily to encourage and get the children of Makunda into a good Christian environment where they can learn their ABCs, learn the basics of education, but also in a Christian environment. And it will be an evangelism tool for our ministry, because these children, many of them will be coming from Muslim families, many of them from poor families, unchurched families. And so we get them in the school, we can pray with them, we can preach to them, and we can teach them, give them the basics of a sound education, and do all this in a good Christian atmosphere. So we pray that you would support us in that. If you have any questions about this project, email me at pureprairie@hotmail.com, pureprairie@hotmail.com, and let me know you're interested. I can give you all the details, and we can move forward on that project. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast if you want to support this radio ministry or any other aspects of the ministry. Well, today we're going to be talking about the New Testament church again. This will be our third in a series on the New Testament church, starting on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit was poured out on all mankind, just as the Apostle Peter spoke to the people there. He said, what you're seeing happening is a fulfillment of the prophecy of the prophet Joel, when he spoke 800 years ago, or about 800, and he said, the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions, and even on my maidservants and my manservants, the Spirit will be poured out on that day. And so the fulfillment of that prophecy came on the day of Pentecost there in Jerusalem. Hundreds of thousands heard the word spoken to them in their own language. And that was the miracle of Pentecost. It was a miracle of speaking, a miracle of tongues, and it was spoken to these people so that they understood the message of the gospel in their own language. And so as we jump on over to the latter part of the second chapter of Acts, it says here in verse 41, so then those who received the word were baptized, and there were added that day 3,000 souls. And so 3,000 people came into the kingdom of God in addition to the 120 who had received the Holy Spirit. Some of them were the apostles that walked with Jesus, the disciples that walked with Jesus, but they were all waiting. So over 3,000 people then became the foundation, the members, I guess you would say, the foundation of the New Testament church. And so these 3,000 souls then, in verse 42, it says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Well, we talked about this last week. These are the hallmarks of the New Testament church. When you are looking for a church, if you don't have a church home, and I hope you have one, but if you don't, you need to look for a church, and these hallmarks should present themselves or be clearly visible in the church that you are looking at, in the church that you want to join. If these hallmarks are not there and you don't see them clearly visible, go look for another church, because this is the foundation. This is what God's plan for the New Testament church is. And I grant you, there are millions of denominations all across the earth. There's many hundreds of thousands probably here in the United States of America, or at least tens of thousands. But this template that is given to us in the second chapter of Acts is the template for the New Testament church. And so whatever church you were raised up in, I'm not going to name any denominations or pinpoint any, but whatever church you were raised up in, don't let that color your world. Let the second chapter of Acts cover and color your world so that you understand God's plan for the New Testament church. And all these other things that people get wound up in and wrapped up in and very distracted in, those aren't always necessarily the plan of God. They're the plan of man in many cases. They are the manifestation of man's plan and man's interpretation of the scripture without the Holy Spirit giving them wisdom. And so go back and read the second chapter of Acts until you understand this is God's plan for the New Testament church. Without this plan, the church always goes astray. Without this plan, even people go astray into cults. And I can't tell you the number of cults we have in Kenya, but it is immense. And some of the crazy, crazy doctrinal stances people take, some of the crazy issues, spirits of religion, people come up with ideas and then they enforce them with concrete and steel rebar to the point you don't even recognize the scripture. Go back to the second chapter of Acts, study it, read it, pray about it, and find a church that looks like what is being described here. And you can find those churches. They're not that common, but you can find the churches that are trying to exemplify what they have seen in the second chapter of Acts. And so it says again in verse 42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and prayer. Well, just quickly, I'm going to go over those as a review of last week. The apostles' teaching, very important to have sound doctrine. You can understand sound doctrine when you study God's Word. If you never study God's Word, you're not going to understand sound doctrine. You're not even going to know sound doctrine when you hear it, or when you don't hear it, you won't know. You will not understand if you don't know God's Word. If you want to know what that bill, that dollar bill or that $20 bill or that $100 bill, if you want to know if it is counterfeit, you have to study the real. If all you ever look at is the counterfeit, you're going to believe after a while that counterfeit is the real thing. You cannot do that. You have to study the real thing over and over and over until it becomes second nature to you. Then, when you see the counterfeit 100, you immediately know it's a counterfeit bill. The same for the hearing of the gospel, the preaching of the gospel. If you don't know what the Bible says and what the real looks like and the real sounds like and the real is, you're not going to understand when somebody starts preaching apostate doctrine to you. And so you have to study God's word. And then the fellowship, Paul says, do not forsake the gathering of the saints. This is Hebrews 10:25. Do not forsake the gathering of the saints, and so much more so as the end day draw near. And so it is very important that you gather. If you're physically capable of attending a church on Sunday morning, please do that. You will not only be blessing yourself, you'll be blessing God, you'll be blessing the people who are in the church with you. You can pray with them, you can encourage them, you can work with them on work projects, and all of this stuff comes from the fellowship. You can help send out missionaries, and if you're not in a church and you're physically able to be in one, I hope you look for one, find one that's a good Bible-believing church, and stay in it, work in it, serve in it. You will be blessed, and the Lord will be blessed. And then the third thing, it says that they were breaking bread. This is speaking about communion. As often as you come together, break bread to remember Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross. And so when you take communion, the sacrament of communion involves the drinking of the cup, which represents Jesus' blood shed for us on Calvary, shed for us at the whipping post, shed for us in many different ways. The blood cleanses us of all unrighteousness. The blood cleanses our sin. The blood washes away our sin. The blood delivers us. The blood heals us. The blood is what we take over our soul, over our body, over our spirit, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness and draw us near to God. And then the bread represents his broken body, broken for us on the cross. His body was horribly mutilated, horribly abused, and so his body was given up that we might know the righteousness of God. And then lastly, the New Testament church was in prayer. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Pray when you are home in your secret place. Pray when you are together with the body of Christ. And that is one of the great things that we can do when we come together as the body of Christ. We can pray corporately for things in the country, for issues going on in the country. We can pray corporately for those in the body who are sick, those who are hurting, those who need a financial breakthrough. We can pray for missionaries. We can pray for those with radio or TV broadcasts. We can pray for the pastors. We have to be a praying church and a praying body of Christ to see changes come on this earth. And when Jesus gave the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, he said, that thy kingdom come, will come on earth as it is in heaven. Beloved, that is God's will. It's God's will for your life that the kingdom will come into your life as it is in heaven. It's God's will that the kingdom will come into the church as it is in heaven, and in this nation as it is in heaven. And so when we pray, expect God to move, expect God to act, and we will see things happen. Well, in verse 43, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. Well, beloved, we serve a supernatural God, a God of miracles, a God of healing, a God of great faith. We serve a God that is higher than anything we can ever think or imagine. His ways are not our ways. And so we have to expect supernatural things to happen when we are in the body of Christ, when we pray, when we do things, work projects or mission projects, we should expect supernatural things to happen. When Jesus was speaking to the disciples in Mark chapter 16 and 17, this is the Great Commission as spoken in the word of Mark, Gospel of Mark, in my name, Jesus said, they will cast out demons and they will speak with new tongues. And in verse 17, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And so that is part of the Great Commission. We can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And in my name, we will cast out demons. That's part of the Great Commission. And so if you do not have a supernatural God in your framework, if a supernatural God isn't part of your lexicon and part of your vocabulary, if a supernatural God isn't part of your religion and part of your faith, you need to readjust or adjust your faith to include a supernatural God, because God is a supernatural God. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still the same God that led Moses cross the Red Sea walking on dry land and the Egyptians came in and they were all drowned. He's the same God that was in the burning bush when Moses was out in the Midian desert. The bush was not consumed by the fire. We have a supernatural God, and so we should expect our walk with Christ and our walk in the kingdom of God, we should expect it to be supernatural. Expect to see miracles. Expect to cast out demons. Expect to speak with new tongues. Expect to see people healed. When you pray for them, if you lay hands on them and pray for them, expect to see them healed, because that is what a supernatural God can accomplish in your life. Well, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, the Apostle Paul talks about this, the supernatural nature of the apostles. The signs of a true apostle were performed among you with all perseverance by signs, wonders, and miracles. And so the Apostle Paul, he was not one of the original 12, but he was an apostle because he was a sent one. And Jesus Christ tapped him on the road to Damascus, and the Apostle Paul's ministry became also a ministry of signs, wonders, and miracles. And that's what he's telling the Corinthians. He said, my ministry was noted by the fact that the signs of a true apostle were performed by me among you with all perseverance by signs, wonders, and miracles. And so that is important for us to recognize, that the New Testament church was a church that believed in signs, wonders, and miracles. And we are today still a New Testament church. We are today a church that is endowed with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and one of the gifts is miracles, or the believing in miracles, the performing of miracles. One of the gifts is gifts of healings, to expect people to be healed when you lay hands on them. And so if you jump on down to Acts chapter 3, in verse 6, Peter and John have encountered a man who is crippled. He's been born crippled. Verse 2, a certain man had been lame from his mother's womb and was being carried along, and they used to set him down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms for those who were entering the temple. So Peter and John passed this guy. He'd been lame from his mother's womb, and Peter says in verse 6, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I give to you, I give in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk. And so in verse 7, Peter grabs him, seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened, and with a leap he stood upright and began to walk, and he entered the temple with Peter and John, and he was leaping and walking and praising God. Well, beloved, I've seen that with my very own eyes in Africa. I've seen people get up out of wheelchairs, walk across the platform. I've seen people throw their crutches away, throw their cane away, throw their walking sticks away. And beloved, God is able. He is able. And so when I pray for people at the start of the radio broadcast every week, I'm not just trying to fill up time. I'm praying for people that have infirmity, have sickness, have debilitating illness, chronic illness. And I'm praying that the Word of God will touch them and they can be healed, because I believe, because I have seen it, but also I believe because that this is what is written in the Word of God. I believe that we serve a supernatural God and that people can receive healing and give a testimony of how God has touched them, how God has healed them, how God has taken them into a new place in their body, their mind, their soul, their spirit, whatever. And I believe that. That's why I start every broadcast every Sunday praying for people, because I believe people will be healed listening to this broadcast. Well, the culmination of that, Acts chapter 3, where Peter and John are praying for this man, the culmination of it is this man goes and testifies, and many, many people had seen this miracle. Many people said something great and mighty is happening here. And as a result of that, verse 4, it says, many of those who heard the message that Peter preached that day, many of those believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. And so shortly after 3,000 came into the church, now we have 5,000 more coming in, partly because they had seen the miracles, partly because they knew that the message that Peter preached was the message of the gospel, the message of truth, and they believed. And now we have 8,000 within just a few days of the time of Pentecost. We have 8,000 souls into the kingdom in Jerusalem to start off the New Testament church. Well, if you go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 44, and all those who believed were together, and they had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions, and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. And so that's the clue right there of how the New Testament church took care of each other, as anyone might have need. So this isn't a prescription for communism, for the government to take over everybody's business, or the government to come in your house and take all of your possessions and your belongings. The people willingly gave, and they willingly shared with those who needed help, so that those who needed help, those who had burdens, and those who had problems, financial problems, and sickness in their family, sickness in their household, these people could be taken care of by the body of Christ. And of course, now we have these massive social programs in the United States. They're not sustainable. Some of them are, but many of them are not. We've taken this social welfare religion, this social welfare doctrine, to great extremes, to the point the country is almost $37 trillion in debt. $37 trillion in debt, and we cannot sustain it because there aren't enough people working in America. There aren't enough children in America going into the workforce at age 18 or age 16 or whatever. There aren't enough people going into the workforce to sustain the massive social programs. And so the church needs to rise up and take care of those who are in need, those among us who are sick, those among us who don't have a job and are not able to work. So the church needs to take care of those and do just as this second chapter of Acts, the early New Testament church, that those who had needs, anyone who had needs, would receive from the church the money, the food, the care, Maybe it's just mowing somebody's lawn that's not able to get out and mow their lawn. Maybe it's taking a food meal to people who have been sick and can't cook for themselves, or their wife can't cook or whatever. And so this is a need that needs to be taken care of by the church. And this was the original template of the Church of God. And so you see everything that the people needed. Verse 46, and day by day, continuing with one mind in a temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of the heart. And verse 47, praising God and had favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. And so it started out with 3,000. The number was adding up each and every day because people were sharing the good news of the gospel. People were excited. They had the Holy Spirit with them, the fire of the Holy Spirit, and they could not keep inside of them what was happening in their life. They had to share it. They had to tell it to their neighbors, tell it to their friends, tell it to their family. And this is the way the New Testament church multiplied and eventually multiplied to the ends of the earth. Well, Gathered the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. We hope you enjoy this message today and each and every Sunday. We'd love to have you support this ministry, not only the radio ministry, but the ministry in Africa, all the good things we're doing there with the children's home and the churches, and we want to get this school built, and so we appreciate your support. Sit down today, let us know you're listening, write us out a note, include a check, include a generous donation so we can keep continuing to do this good work that God has given us to do. Our contact information, Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. That's Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. You can go to PayPal, paypal.me/gatheroutcasts. paypal.me/gatheroutcasts. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/JimRao, and we want to hear from you. Thank you again for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.